It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 676 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Braxton A. Cosby, creator and writer of Broken from Star Child Comics, is the guest. He's an award-winning and best-selling author and dreamer who transitioned his ideas on pen and paper to pixels and keyboards. He's penned over 20 novels, 5 comics, and several screenplays, many based on his own works. He tells stories that evoke emotions and stimulate thought. His latest comic series, Broken, is described this way. Teens try to survive while fighting zombies in a barren wasteland. We talk about how this book came to be, who the characters are, and what we can expect from the CMPDSU, the Cosby Media Productions dedicated superhero universe, in the months ahead. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Braxton has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Multi-award-winning and number one Amazon best-selling author Braxton A. Cosby is a dreamer who transitioned his ideas on pen and paper to pixels and keyboards. He tells stories that evoke emotions and stimulate thought. His new superhero adventure book, The Cape, is book 3 of the Dark Spores series. He's the CEO of Cosby Media Productions. And I'm talking with him today about the latest release, the third in the series of Broken. How's it doing, Braxton?
Oh, it's going well. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's good to talk with you. Can you set up things as far as things go? Where in this, because you've developed this whole universe, and it's nice to kind of have an idea where things are working. Where does the third book in this series fall in the Cosbyverse, or however you call it?
Right. So, you know, we have quite a few universes. We've been around since 2012. Officially, really kind of got the wheels churning down the track in 2014. And so last year was our 10-year anniversary as a Cosby Media Productions, a small press publishing company, where we published over 30 authors with 60 different titles in ebook, audiobook, and paperback. And interesting enough, we've had some fantastic fiction writers who just kind of had their own universes that they brought to us. And we decided to kind of cross them over and connect them. So one of the first ones that we did was the Cosby Media Productions dedicated superhero universe, the CMPDSU for short. And that comprised of me writing what you talked about earlier, the Cape series, which is basically a superhero series of people who are just regular Joes who one day get caught in a storm and wake up the next day with superpowers. And you imagine if people had proclivities of committing crimes, they're now supervillains as opposed to those who have to make the moral choice to do right by this new responsibility of having superpowers, and they become heroes, you know. So that's really what I wanted to kind of pull out of the Cape series, which ended up being two novels, the Cape Book 1, which asked the questions in the city of masked heroes, darkness hides the truth, kind of the line from that story led into the sequel, which is a Cape Overdrive, and eventually spilled over to when we started doing comic books back in 2020, and we came up with our own comic book imprint called Star Child Comics. Well, I ended up doing the Cape Hellfire comic book, which was based on the novels, books 1 and 2. And this universe was built, like I said, not just by myself, but by a fantastic writer such as Kyle Champion. He contributed 2 novels of the Majesties of Canaan superhero series, where these 7 military heroes come to a cave as they're escaping a war in the Middle East, and they come upon an angel who has a pool of this super charged element called Oromite, and it basically enhances their natural skill abilities as warriors. So he contributed that series. Keyshawn Dodds has the amazing Menzuo series, which comprises four novels, and he contributed a comic book as well. This superhero, a young adult who basically came to planet Earth and was adopted by his parents, and eventually realized that there was this multiverse where he would basically be spoken to by his mentor, and learned that he had these powers and this responsibility as the universal protector. We also had Lawrence St. John, who contributed his Metatron series, a young man who basically has these evolving powers over time and just continues to evolve with each book that he wrote, and the responsibilities of being a young teen trying to come up and realize his calling to be a superhero and a protector of his friends and family on Earth. And then we had Daniel Payton, who wrote the Bark series, which is basically a young man named Joshua who was experimented on by this mad scientist. And eventually he turns into a half dog, half human. And he has to kind of start from scratch with even learning the English language. So we had all these great stories. We put them together in the CMPDSU and started referencing all these heroes within these individual stories. And finally, we crossed them over into our first novel, which is Infinity Seven, which is kind of like an Avengers Assemble Justice League story. And that's where me and Kyle and Keyshawn actually co-wrote the first book in that series, which later on went on to be Literary Titan Book of the Month and got 5 stars or Reader's Favorite. And then that series had a sequel called War of the Gods. And that was where me and Keyshawn kind of finished everything and brought that together. So within this world, we have contributed, I always tell people it's like six writers with 18 novels and now 5 comic books. So readers who come to our world get to play around with a plethora of options when it comes down to superhero storytelling. And that's just one of the worlds that we've created. We also have Daniel Payton's Legacy of Dragonwan, if you're into fantasy fiction, which has 6 books in that series. We have, if you want more fantasy, you can also get James Meservey's Light of Rise series. But more importantly, the one you referenced so far, just for the content of this interview, is my series called The Broken Series, which is book 1 is a novel, book 2 is a comic book, and book 3 is a graphic novel. And that's my story, which tells the story of dystopian fiction, Earth, year 2035, all-out nuclear war with all the continents involved, and 70% of the population is destroyed. That's human, plant, and animal. People rush to the coastlines to get fresh water and try to survive and put the pieces back together of their broken lives. And since money no longer has any value, this conglomerate corporation called the Establishment actually takes control, and they start to use humans as the only viable currency. So they basically reenact the slave trade, and it's based on a class-based system. So if you have no resources and no valuables, they basically enslave you and trade you for currency across the world. We said that 70% of the population was done, but there was also some that survived. And those who ingest the ashes of the nuclear fallout, a few things can happen to you. 10% of the population turns into mindless zombies called ashers. The other ones turn to madmen called hoarders who just kind of scavenge the land for resources and just kill and pillage whatever they can find. And 1% of the population, it actually unlocks extrasensory perception, ESP. And that's where our heroine, Kisa, comes in, where she has these visions of dreams of the future. And she's trying to put together things as she is now a slave in Savannah, Georgia. And she is, they've been separated from her parents, and she's trying to be a surrogate parent to her younger brother, Kieran, who's 11, and Keisa's 16. And all she knows is that things are not right, and she wants to get out of this slave camp and try to figure out life another way. And that's where the story of Broken picks up in the novel.
Wow. Well, I've got to say that you got a lot of avenues you're using to do it.
Right.
Most people only do like one thing, comic books or that. You, right. As you said, you started with a novel and then you went into comics and then you went to a mm-hmm. graphic novel. Mm-hmm. Why did you go that route? That's such a different route for people to go.
Yes. Fantastic question. You know, we do a lot of shows, conventions, and I do panels where I just have discussions. I've beyond just being a novelist, I also write comic scripts. I write screenplays, and I just love story, Wayne. So my thing is, Mac, give me a fresh story. Give me something that just continues to move the needle, something that's fresh and thought-provoking. So when we started doing the comics and novels for the superhero franchise that we built, I noticed something at the conventions is that people love to have options. Some people say, oh man, I just read comic books. Some people say, no, I like novels. So I said, hey, let's give them both. Let's continue to brand our company as a hybrid publisher where we offer you both. And that's why we did our imprint. So we have our own imprint of 12 comic books. And we also have our novels of all the fantastic books that we have. So I said, you know, with us being a hybrid publisher, that's the conversation. People come to our tables and they say, hey, you know, what's Cosmic Media Production? We say, we're a hybrid publisher. We're going to give you stories in both novels and comics, so you have options. And maybe you're a person who hasn't read a comic book since you were a kid, but you like novels. This might be the opportunity for you to get involved in something very fresh where you may start your origin story in a novel and it may move into a comic, or you may start the origin story in a comic and it may transcend into a novel, something similar to what I did with my bounty hunter story, Steel Rain. The prequel is the comic book, 27-page comic book that sets the stage and picks right up with the novel, Steel Rain, the bounty hunter science fiction, hard science fiction story. So I kind of got addicted to that because as a writer, I'm always looking for new ways to write. And when I got into comic book scripting, it was such a challenge because I'm a stickler for the format of three-act structure. So my screenplays are written that way. I spill that over into my novels just so I have direction with all my stories. And I started doing it with comics. I said, why not? You know, comics are a different kind of a beast because you're trying to cram three-act structure into a smaller format. But in the success that I've had where I've been able to do that, I realize I have such a more compelling story. It's more complete and it's very intentional in doing that. So that's the way I write now. I always have in my mindset, I'm going to have something that offers a different a different type of media so people can get involved. They can pick up the graphic novel. They can pick up the novella. They can pick up the novel. They can pick up the comic book. And there's really it's an endless set of options for people to read and get involved in the stories that I'm telling. So that kind of just is my forte now. So what I did with Broken, I started off with the novel, ended up being a 350-page novel. I went into the comic book. That was a 24-page comic book. And then now the 60-plus page graphic novel continues the story. And my next entry into the story will be a novella. So for me, it's really about the culmination of ideas that have just been kind of being cranked out since 2017, 2018, where we really got the CMPDSU off its feet. And now going forward, this is just what I write. I'm working on a sequel to Steel Rain, which will basically be a bookend. You got the novel in the middle, you got the comic on the front end, and you've got another comic on the back end. And I'm working on a historical fiction story that I'm keeping really close to my chest because I just love the direction of this story on feudal Japan. And it's going to be a duology where it's just going to be a novella and a graphic novel. So if you ask me why I'm doing that, it's just to give us something different, make us stand out. And people who have come to the convention and picked up these stories have really fallen in love with them because they love that they can put together the characters in their mind from the story that they read in the novel and then go right into the comic and actually see the actual authentication of that story from the author themselves, who said, hey, I know you thought these characters looked and moved and felt like this, but look at what I have now as I'm paired with the artist who brings the ideas to life that I put in this script.
See, that's so interesting because that's a totally different way of writing. Mm-hmm. When you're writing a novel or a novella, you have to describe what's happening. When you're doing a comic, that falls to the artist.
Absolutely.
So that's a whole nother thing. I mean, you obviously enjoy doing that. Do you? And it sounds like you're having success with it, which is mm-hmm. kind of interesting to me because I've never heard of this kind of hybrid before. So I'm really fascinated. And it sounds like the reception is good. You're selling a lot of books.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, we're getting awards, you know, Amazon number one bestsellers. Broken was a finalist for the American Legacy Book Award for dystopian fiction. Steel Rain was a finalist for the science fiction category in that same award. You know, we just continue to get great feedback for what we're doing. And, you know, I did a book signing at Barnes & Noble with Broken, and people came by. They couldn't stop buying. I sold out. I didn't have any more books, you know, and I was supposed to be there for 4 hours. I sold out in 2 hours, and they were looking at me like, well, when are you coming back? You know, we got to get this book out. So it's exciting, you know, to share your ideas with people and see that they're actually, when you tell them the synopsis of the and the summary of the story, it gets them interested. You know, they just want something new and different, and I feel like as long as I can keep turning out stories like this, I want to give people options. I want to give them an opportunity. Hey, you know, my son or my daughter is not really into reading the big novel, but man, they would love to jump into this story, which is why you've noted, I'm sure you've seen it in the graphic novel. I kind of give you that mm-hmm. first page summary of where we are now so that if people just pick up the graphic novel for Broken, it kind of catches them up with the novel and the comic book, but in a way that I don't give too much away that I want you to still go back and read it, but it just kind of tells you how we sped up to the point where we are right now in the graphic novel.
That's great, because a lot of comics do that these days, you know, mm-hmm. like a previously kind of a setup. And that's helpful just in case somebody has not discovered other stuff before. But for as a writer, I mean, that is such an interesting twist to go from novel to comic.
Yeah.
I mean, as a writer, how do you approach that? I mean, do you like a layout, how where everything's going to go, and then attack each one separately? Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I've done a lot of training in writing, screenplays, creative writing classes, and also some intensives, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, like from idea to script kind of a thing to pitch and really trying to put together the formula, reading the books. You know, there's Save the Cat. There's also The Art of Comic Book Writing. You know, there's Robert McKee's story. So I have just fallen in love with story. I mean, if you give me a good story that's fresh, unique, and gives me a couple of twists and turns, I'm all over it. So for me, the challenge of writing comic scripts was the biggest undertaking that I have. You know, people say, oh, well, you've written, you know, books that are 105,000 words. You know, isn't that the hardest thing? I said, that's an easy part. You know, once you get your outline together, you can just babble all day. You can just keep writing. But now to have those guardrails up of a comic script where you've got rules now, you know, each page is 5 to 7 panels. And then there's a time lapse from page to page. Sometimes there's a time lapse in between the panels themselves. You become the producer, you know, you're the director, you're the actual director of photography. I want the panel to have this shape. I want the angle of the camera to be over the shoulder. I want a close-up of this character here. I want a far away. I want a floor up shot, a top-down shot. Like, you become everything. And to me, it's been just so, it's really rejuvenated my career of writing because I've written over 20 novels, and now on my 5th comic script, the challenge of continuing to be excited about writing, really, I've overcome that because of comic writing, you know? So I get a chance to, when I send those pages off to the artists who I work with, and they send me back the pencil sketch of it, and then eventually I see the inks, and then the colors come in, and then the special effects and the dialogue. I mean, it's like birthing a child over and over again, you know, because it becomes your baby, you know? And so it's really just for me, I don't recommend it, because I'm sure people are, everybody says, no, I only do this. I'm only a novelist. I'm only this. But I'm just blessed in the space that God has given me the talent and the drive to actually want to do it all, you know, just so I can get a very congruent story that gives you an opportunity to get involved in a whole bunch of angles and opportunities for different type of media other than film and TV. We haven't gotten there yet, but hey, you know what? God willing, we'll get there one day too.
That was my next question. Have you thought about going into visual storytelling with that? So that's really interesting mm-hmm. that you're considering yeah. all that. Yeah. Gosh, there's so many questions. I could spend the whole time talking about the process, but we ought to talk about the book a little bit.
Yes.
You mentioned some of the background that it's kind of a post-apocalyptic world and things like mm-hmm. that. Now, is Kisa, is she based on anybody real, or is she completely something you have imagined?
I'll tell you this. When I wrote Broken Wayne, I dedicated this story to my three daughters. And what I tried to do is take all the nuances of teenhood from raising my daughters, and then also putting in the challenges of trying to say, hey, listen, at the end of the day, Kisa's still trying to just be a teenager. And now she's in this post-apocalyptic world of surviving, you know, being enslaved, trying to be a foster parent to her little brother. Now, none of this is what a 16-year-old wants to do, you know. So the fundamental question becomes, what does this do to a child, you know, realistically a teenager, when she's had all this trauma? So for me, it became a personal goal of trying to really even dig into my psyche a little bit, of dealing with the challenges I've had all the way up to my age, and then trying to compartmentalize that into the personality of a young girl, and then also dealing with I really wanted to address mental health because it became such a big piece. It became, to me, in my perception, I think, like, when you say mental health, it almost becomes like a curse word or it's taboo. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody's going through mental health, man. I mean, the times we're in now, you know, and even times in the past, the way my mom and my father were raised, I mean, there are some things that we've gone through as a human being that I think everybody needs to reevaluate the level of their mental health, you know? And so I really was intentional about putting that piece in with Kisa as well, and talk about how she's dealing with it. And where I kind of introduced it in the first novel of some of the things that she's having some inconsistencies in the storytelling, because it's written in the first person narrative. People are like, well, she said this, and then she said this. Well, what's going on? And the comic book ended up really being about, like, I'm trying to feature things. I'm giving you the big storyline, the characterization, the world building, and the setup in the first book, because I have time on my hands to do that with all the words. And then I was able to really dive into the livelihood of the inner workings of the hoarders, where they seem like they were so wild and unorganized. And then there's a moment where you get to actually be in the village and see that they do have their own system in place that they have used to survive. But then we also have this, the big, you know, evil empire of the establishment and the main characters of Krace and Eris in here. And we get to really get an idea of what their goals and objectives are, all in the first novel. And then the comic book gave me an opportunity with, since it was a comic, to really illustrate and show the and feature the zombies, the Ashers. So we got great set pieces and action pieces of the zombies doing what they do and how they move. And then when I got to the graphic novel, because I had more pages, I was actually finally able to address the mental health state of Kisa. And the world of Broken now became a character in and of itself, where we can really kind of, we dive a little bit deeper into the world of Broken. We kind of get an idea of what this dystopian landscape looks like. At the same time, I was really excited by it all, because it was more like a dichotomy of, this is the world of Broken. This is how these characters are trying to reestablish a foothold in it. And also, this is Kisa's mind that's being unlocked, the mental health issues that she didn't even know she was going through. And it's the characters around her this new family that she has kind of created to actually say, you know, no, Keisha, this is what the reality is. So it was a great challenge. Like I said, so when you talk about building that character, it was really about pieces of a lot of people. And I think in writing, people say when you write, try your best to write what you're an expert on. And not to say that I'm an expert parent, but I'm an expert at dealing with the nuances of my girls. And so I wanted to kind of pour all of that into the story of Broken.
There's a lot of diversity, I notice, in the characters and the situations mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yep.
And Keisha, and maybe this is a cultural thing, but the one thing that stood out is that she wears on her head like almost like mm-hmm. a turban thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That's it's African. It's called a duhuku, and it's just her mother. And when you read the novel, her mother was really proud of her African American heritage, so she wanted to give her an identity of, you know, taking care of your hair. You know, black girls' hair is just so different. You know, you've got to put a lot of work into it,
right.
It's really beautiful, but it takes that nurturing. So this is something that Keisha does, where she's got this big, beautiful head of hair, and she's trying to understand it and take care of it. And it's even this moment where she meets the main character, the main antagonist of the establishment, named Crace, and he kind of confronts her and kind of yanks her, and her hair just falls out, and it's these beautiful curls, and he is just like astonished. You know, he just kind of just gazes at her. And at the same time that he hates what she's becoming, because she's becoming this voice of this rebellion against the establishment, he's also very fascinated by her, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that Keisha had her, again, dealing with my girls, knowing how they got to deal with their hair, just really going back to the mm-hmm. roots, the African roots of how you take care of your hair and what this means to a young African-American girl.
Mm-hmm, that's really good. Now, would you describe, there's a couple more people that are working with her. Can you describe who those mm-hmm. characters are?
Yeah, so early on in the story in the slave pod, she runs into, you know, a couple of other teenagers, because they separate them by age group. So she's never really able to get to see her brother until they have, like, meals, and she kind of gets separated again when they put them in these little pods by age. So she gets a couple of friends, female friends that are there. And then she's introduced to two love interests. One is a young boy named a Caucasian male named Wynn. And she meets him, and he's an odd little character, but he's just so sweet. And she's like fond of him, you know, not necessarily anybody she'd really be attracted to, but he's just so sweet and caring. And he's become this protector of her. Until later on in the story, this new young man is introduced, African-American teenager from another slave camp who comes there, and his name is Dobbs. And he's like real cool and slick, and she identifies a lot with him, but she knows he's trouble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of that love triangle where she's trying, she really loves Wynn. She has a lot of love for Wynn, but she's really pulled by Dobbs. And then later on, there's these rumblings of there's a resistance out there. There's people who are really going to actively try to bring down the establishment. So what we've got to do now is escape. We've got to get out of the slave pod and try to just go out there. And there's this group that they've heard about called the resistance, but there's a voice of the resistance. And they send out radio transmissions all the time, and they're trying to recruit people, essentially. And Ghost Town Radio is the name of them. And so they know there's these links, there's these pieces that they have to connect to in order to really get to where they want to be. But Dobbs has now the voice, like, hey, I've heard of some things. We've got to get out of here. You know, you guys are going to stay, but I'm leaving. And they rally around Dobbs, and then they do get out. And then there's this mysterious character who seems to be following him around, and he almost moves really robotically, and they don't know who he is. So there's just a lot going on in this story. And then finally, they meet one of the main people who seems to have a history with what went on with the time that they call the Big Drop. That's the event of all the total nuclear war. Mm-hmm. This scientist named Greg, Dr. Greg, and he has now allied with them, and he's taken them through the story with the graphic novel and the comic book. So we get all of them introduced early on towards the end of the, because the, what I did with the comic book is there's a, the novel ends with a cliffhanger ending, and the comic book picks up right at that sequence of events that occurs at the end of the novel. So readers are they're thrown exactly right into that time window, and they're just moving forward. So those are just, there's some great characters. And I wanted to make it diverse. I wanted you to have a Latino female. I wanted you to have a Caucasian male. I wanted you to have all these characters so that people can identify with themselves in the story in some way, shape, or form.
Wow, wow. Did it take a while to build all this universe, or did you already have a lot of this in your head when you started writing?
When I first started working on Broken, I really thought it would be a one-off book. I didn't think I was going to do anything else with it. But I tell you, this story is so fascinating, Wayne. When I was working on Broken, the novel, we were also starting Starchild Comics, the imprint. And the funny thing was, people, you know, we put the website up, then we put the Instagram up, and people were jumping in the DMs. Hey, I'd like to do some, I see you guys are doing comic books. I'm an artist. I do this, I do that. Are you looking for an artist? Are you looking for a script writer? Are you looking for this and that? So, you know, I was taking a lot of those messages and replying back and forth. And this one person came and said, hey, listen, I've got a whole comic book, and I'm willing to partner with you guys in having it. And at this time, we had already gotten our Kickstarter funded for our first four issues of the superhero stuff. So I was excited. So I was like, okay, what does he have? And he said, I have a zombie story, more like a toxic kind of zombie thing, like this toxic waste was turning people into zombies. And I was like, okay, it sounds interesting. So he sent me the entire thing on a PDF, and I read through it. And I was like, okay, you know, from a aesthetics perspective, it looked the part. The story was a little wonky, so I was like, hey, would you be willing to allow me to work with you to kind of brush the story up? And you know, a comic book, I mean, it's comic pages, but you can drop new dialogue on there to tell the story. You know, you can go a different way. So even though the pages are done in art, you can always just rework the narrative, and you can totally tell a different story. So he was willing to do that. I told him the terms of the contract and everything. So I'm going to send it over to you, sign it, we'll go to work. He gets it back, and I know there's like a delay in a couple of days. He hadn't gotten back to me. I said, hey, are we still okay to do this? I'm excited. I'm ready to add something new to our brand new publishing comic imprint. And he comes back to me with this counteroffer saying, hey, I thought about it, and for you to have this comic, it's going to cost you the rights to it now. Not to just have it all right. $20,000.
Whoa.
And he wanted 90% of any royalties that I had made off of. I'm like, well, where am I benefiting from this, you
wow.
know?
Wow.
And so I told him, I said, hey, listen, I appreciate that, but we're not in, that's not the type of company we are. You know, mm-hmm. we partner with people, we'll help you get everything out there, but that's not our framework at this point. So thanks, but no thanks. And I was, behind the scenes, I was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was ready to have this next thing. And Broken, I was finishing up, and I'm sitting there like, man, I really thought we had a zombie story. And then I remember I heard God speak to me and said, Braxton, you have your own zombie story you've already written, and you are a writer. Mm-hmm. You are not limited at all for ideas. All you got to do is partner with a great artist now to go ahead and just do your own comic book based on the world you've already built. And that light bulb just went off, and I said, man. That's exactly what I'm going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I partnered with a fantastic artist named Rom Silva from Brazil. And, you know, I auditioned, like, hey, give me a one page. I wrote this one page, and I sent out to a few of the artists who had connected with me mm-hmm. and said that they wanted to, you know, try it. And I said, send me some samples of what you have. And they did. And I sent them the one page. I said, hey, do this one page, and whoever does it the best is what I'm going to take. And Rom nailed it from the beginning. And I've worked with him on the first comic and also on the graphic novel. And he always just turns in fantastic pages and panels. And I have a colorist who also does our colors and our and our letters and sound effects and things like that. And that's Julio Caballero. So that team of us, the three-headed monster, me writing, Rom doing the art, and Julio doing the colors, has just, I'm just so proud of that comic and that graphic novel. So that's the evolution of it, of how we got here. but it started with, you know, a little bit of a monkey wrench being thrown into my event, my initial plans. But I tell you know, sometimes a little change in your plans is something that's necessary. You know, sometimes things are just set up for you to have even a better beginning and a start. So that's what it was for me. And I've been more and more excited about this story ever since getting the graphic novel out there.
Now, it's interesting to me that Kesa, there's more going on than what we know originally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the graphic novel, we kind of discover what's happening there. And I'm like, whoa, that's an interesting concept. So
yes.
Now, of course, that makes me, now, when's the novella coming out? Because we don't know what's happening next.
Yes. I'm planning to get the novella out because, you know, I kind of do stories by the convention seasons, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're starting our convention season in March, and then that'll run us all the way through October of this year. So I try to have new content for readers with the convention season. So this year, I said I finished the second issue of the Cape comic book. Mm-hmm. That's the Fabulous Five. I introduced this new young little team of five precocious heroes who are going to kind of take the mantle of being superheroes now from the Cape team and kind of running with it. So I have that comic I'll be having at the conventions, and I also have the Broken graphic novel. So I'm taking my time with it because I want to give it enough time to get its legs and give readers opportunities to kind of catch up and read those things. So in my mind, I'll probably have it written by the end of this year, but I'll probably be putting that one out in early 2026. So, wow. You know, kind of space things out a little bit.
Wow. Okay. So, okay. Now I got a couple of questions I got to ask.
Yes.
What's the best way for people to access, like, Broken and your other mm-hmm. materials? Is it to go through your website? Yep. Okay. So, because I went through Amazon was the way I went. Mm-hmm. I did it. But you prefer people go to the website.
Well, the reason I say that is because if they go to www.cosbymediaproductionswithans.com. What will happen is you'll be able to see all the things that we offer. Click on it. We give a synopsis. You see some images and things like that. And then if people say, hey, some of the books we have on our online store, they can buy the physical copies right from us and we can ship them to them signed. Or there's a link that's going to take you right to Amazon anyway. So if you want to pick up the novel from Amazon, whether it's in the Kindle or the paperback format, you can do that through Amazon. Or you can pick up the comic books are all offered in the Kindle format. So people can pick those up there. And if they want the hard copy, you know, they can come back to the website and get them straight from us. You know, all of the online store has all of our comic books and the linking novels that are associated, like Steel Rain, like Broken, like The Cape, you know, those things are there as well. And we even have our compendium, which basically has all of our superhero stories and comic books all in one place, so they could pick that up as well.
Okay. Does your website and stuff, does it organize things? Because when I come across a new universe that's very fleshed out, I'm always worried about knowing where to start.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that. That's exactly what we did. There are some tabs on our website that says the CMPDSU. You can click on that. And when you go into that page, you're going to see all of the novels, all of the comic books. And we do our storytelling on our superhero series in stages, you know. So Marvel does their phase thing. We do our stages. So you'll see it from beginning to end. You know when to start. And then you'll be in stage two. You'll be in stage three. We just wrapped stage four with the completion of Infinity 7 Part 2, War of Gods. And now the Cape issue 2, The Fabulous Five, starts stage 5. So that puts that in order. But if people say, man, I don't have time to go read all these novels, what do I do, Braxton? If you go pick up our compendium, this is a 175-page graphic novel that actually serializes each novel into a one pager. So, for example, if you pick up the compendium and you want to know about Menzuo, on one page we have the synopsis of all the big events that happen in Menzuo Book One, and right next to it we actually have a comic page with panels that highlight all the major action sequences. So if you read that synopsis and you actually read that one comic page, you would have been caught up on all of Book One. Then we give you Book Two, Book Three, and Book Four, and then we drop the entire Menzuo comic book in there as well. So that's huge value. You've got four novels and a comic. Then you go over the next chapter in the compendium would be the Bark series. Then you get the three novels of Bark and the comic book. Then you go to the Metatron, you get the four novels of Metatron and the novel. So we keep in the comic, and we just keep giving you all of that. So if people pick up the compendium, they will have the entire superhero universe we completed minus the Infinity 7-2 and the Cape 2, which just came out. So people actually can get caught up on just the compendium alone.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you talked about conventions. Does the website say where you're going to be, or how do we keep up with what conventions you're going
to
be at?
Yeah, if you subscribe to our newsletter, that gets you on our newsletter, and we usually send those out every weekly or every other week just to kind of update people on new things. You know, if there's awards that our authors have won from their writings, if they have a new book that released, if we have a cover reveal, when we have conventions and book signings, we also update that. There's also a news tab on there as well. So normally when we have our schedule, when our calendar is set, because we're still trying to get that established now, then they'll be in there. They'll say, hey, we're going to be here. We're going to be here this date. And people can kind of click and get the information on that as well.
Wow. I mean, man, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of all this amazing stuff that you're doing. So we're going to have to do this again.
Absolutely.
Maybe when the novella comes out so we can get, let me ask you, maybe I don't know if you want to reveal or not, but is the novella going to be the end of the Broken story, or might you have ideas for other stuff?
I'll say this to you, Wayne. Broken was always about Keese's story, but this is a world issue at this point, right? So you can imagine that there's not Keese's around the world, but there's other people trying to be a part of this rebellion, trying to be a part of the resistance. We have to tell their stories too at some point, you know? So this is only what's happening over here in North America. So with that, I will say Keese's story is probably going to end in two more books, a novella. And I'm going between, based on where we get to in a novella, if it's going to be another comic book or if it's going to be another graphic novel to finish it off. But her story may end there. But it's probably going to be even more stories that go forward. I know Keyshawn Dodds is working on a dystopian novel that's in the same time window. So we may actually have these characters cross over. So, you know, we're writers. We could just keep going. So I think people who jump into Broken are going to realize that they're really becoming a part. They're joining a world that's going to be a universe. And it's going to be a lot of branching stories. So there's going to be a lot of stories to be told in this broken time period of our planet.
You know, I have to say, it's so much fun to talk to somebody who knows where they're going. You know, so many times it just feels like writers are getting in a car and just wandering around the neighborhood.
Right.
And I don't get that. I always thought Marv Wolfman was a great example of this. You know, you could feel, even though you didn't know exactly where you were going, that we were going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to you, I get that same sense that you know where we're going, and it's going to be worth the journey.
Absolutely.
And I like that. We got to do this again because there's so much I'm interested in. I could ask a million more questions. We could do this for a couple hours, honestly.
Yes.
This is kind of we're going to do this just as a sampler of what's possible out there. And we'll talk again because, man, this is so interesting to me. All the stuff that you've come up with and all that you've got in your mind, and you've got other people mm-hmm. working with you in this great universe that you guys, or universes that you guys have developed. We got to do this again because there's so much fun involved and so much adventure exploration and stuff. Just great stuff.
So, Brooks, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All I can tell you is, God, this is so much fun to talk about. Very exciting. And are you on social media, by the way?
If anybody wants to
follow you? Okay.
Yeah, if they go to the website, they'll see our links for social media, for IG and Facebook. You can see Cosmometer Productions on IG. You can also follow me at Braxton A. Cosby, or even Starchild Comics, which is Starchild _ Comics. And that's standard for the Facebook and the IG.
Because I'm already thinking about 20 questions I'd love to ask. And we're going to have to do this next time.
Not a problem at all.
Have you guys thought about going on? Because I understand there's been a recent exodus over to Blue Sky and stuff like that with comics.
Yeah, I have considered it just because of, you know, the climate and just honestly, like, there's just been a lot of monetary stuff that's going on with the social media, you know? And I'm like, hey, I'm just here to share my stuff. I don't want to be charged a nickel and dime for everything. So yeah, I have seriously considered Blue Sky. And I told my wife, I said, honestly, I know we're going to have to make a transition. I'm just trying to find the format that I, and the platform that I really, really feel comfortable with.
Because I'm on about 8 social media things, because I'm always out there trying to promote the podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so for me, as you know, people want to discuss politics and stuff. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to get the product out there so you can sample it and stuff. Mm-hmm. It has been so much fun talking to you, man. I really want to do this again because there is so many interesting things, and having read this stuff, golly, I feel your hand on the steering wheel, and it just makes me want to go on the journey.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
So just keep it up, and we're going to have to do this again sometime.
Perfect. I definitely will be available.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.